Dana, you're a writer, also an inspirational speaker. You've made YouTube videos on unschooling, radical unschooling, and you've got two books out, is that right?
Correct. Well, I have one that's been out for over a year, and I have another being released this month.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about that later, but the concept of radical unschooling.
Okay.
And so, what exactly is that? Because there's so many different groups and blogs and books, people are trying to understand what radical unschooling means. And, you know, would you say that one of the key words would be without coercion? Is that?
To understand radical unschooling, it's important to first understand unschooling. And unschooling is a method of homeschooling in which, you know, learning is really important to unschoolers, but they don't learn or believe in learning in the traditional sense that learning needs to be followed by a curriculum or that it needs to be forced, for example. Unschooling is really trust-based, that a child will learn what they need to learn in life, and it's really based in, you know, passions and interests being the nucleus of a child's learning, and that so much learning comes from exploring those. Now, radical unschooling is taking the same trust with education that people have with unschooling and incorporating it in other areas of their lives with their children. Some of the main areas are, you know, foods, media, bedtimes. It's a really overall trust of your child's choices. Mm. Now, traditionally, you know, as a culture, we live in an authoritarian paradigm where the parent has a really distinct role as the authority, and control is a really big part of it, you know, controlling what your children do and kind of giving permission and dictating what's done. And obedience is a really big focus of traditional parenting. Now, radical unschooling philosophy is living in a partnership paradigm rather than an authoritarian paradigm, which is really an evolution in parenting that's kind of exploding right now. It's becoming known in so many different realms of life. I can't even believe how many people are, there's blogs are exploding, you know, books are coming out left and right. This is really, really catching on. And I truly believe that a partnership paradigm is new. However, it's going to be really commonplace by the time I have grandchildren. It's going to be really accepted and viewed with respect, much in the same way that attachment parenting has become in the last decade.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think that there's this shift?
Well, I think people are seeing, I mean, professionals, doctors are seeing these enormous benefits that they never knew were there. You know, and in fact, when I had my son 12 years ago and I was pregnant, I started researching attachment parenting and learning about it and, you know, putting into practice a lot of the philosophy that I had believed in and always done but just never knew there was a label to. And everybody around me was telling me how wrong it was and how it's going to create these monster children and selfish, and they're never going to be able to sleep on their own. And, you know, all these kind of lies I was told never came to be. In fact, these children that have been raised, you know, for a decade, and people that have even been doing it a lot longer are realizing how amazingly secure and loving and, you know, kind to others that these children are becoming. And I think people are really rethinking their stance on that type of parenting.
Mm-hmm. So rather than, you know, the predicted children will become really self-centered or, you know, just doing whatever they want, you're seeing that that's not the case at all.
Exactly. In fact, quite the opposite is happening of what people were trying to dissuade me from doing. I think, you know, people were well-intentioned telling me, you know, these are family and friends who I'm referring to. Mm-hmm. I think people were well-intentioned trying to instill fear in me. But at the same time, I think it brought up a lot of deep issues for them, because I think a lot of people, you know, really wanted to parent instinctually and nurture their child, but were told themselves not to. So they, you know, it's painful for them to see other people doing what they so deeply wanted to do but just didn't have the courage to do it because they wanted the approval of others. They wanted to be accepted by their mother-in-law or mother. And
it's very hard, I guess, to go against what's, you know, what you yourself have been raised as well as. Like, if you've been raised that way, it's sometimes very hard for people to see that shift. So it does take courage, as you just said.
Exactly. And so the core philosophy of radical unschooling is something that I've lived from the beginning with my children. I've just always trusted them. And in the same way I, you know, they learn to walk and talk, they've learned to read and write. It never, ever had to be forced. I never have had to sit my children down and you know, bargain and coerce and bribe and threaten punishment for them to do workbook pages to learn how to read, for example. They have learned to read just through pursuing their passions, through living a life rich with the written word, through me facilitating their interests. And if you would have told me 10 years ago that this was possible, I probably wouldn't have believed you either. I wouldn't have believed anybody, because I've never heard about this way of learning. And I just want to speak it from the mountaintops and tell people that this is possible. And it's really rewarding, and it's a much much better way than through force or coercion.
Right. So yeah. I'm just thinking, though, that do you find that, you mentioned that you have a 12-year-old now.
Yeah.
I find that that's a tricky age when kids who are unschooled reach, because it's almost like the family becomes, it's almost like they need to expand their boundaries. The limits of the limitations of the family. The family becomes not enough. Have you had that experience yet?
No, I haven't actually. I know it might be just individual for the child. You know, maybe one of my other children, as they hit that age, will go through that. But I think because just travel is really important to us, and making connections is really important to us. So I think my children are really, you know, Devin, my 12-year-old, is really fulfilled in that way. You know, he Skypes with kids, with friends from all over the world, and, you know, they play computer games, and he went to his friend's house for the day yesterday. And I think if you stay in that partnership mode and just communicate, and if your child's wanting to do more, to make sure you facilitate that, I think that's really important. So I think communication is key.
And again, it might be a different kind of, you have to be open to the fact that, you know, they're going through a different period in their life. They're starting a new time, so they might, their interests will not necessarily be the same as what they've been. And it's evolving. That partnership that you're talking about continues to evolve, right?
Exactly. And I have found that living this life, it's so beneficial, because you know your children so well, and you're able to meet their needs individually. Like my 9-year-old daughter is really social, and she really likes to go out and do things very often, where Devin, my 12-year-old, he's really content being home. You know, he's kind of a homebody personality. And so with her, I really have to meet that need. You know, she'll wake up in the morning and say, where are we going today and what are we doing? And even if I feel like staying home that day, I think it's really important for me to help facilitate that. Whether, you know, so we'll talk about, you know, here are the options of what we can do in our area today. We'll go online and research, you know, if there's any cool things happening. And so again, I think it's really individual. And I'm so happy that, you know, we have the freedom to meet each of our children's needs in that way, where they are so different.
But doesn't it feel like you have to be their everything sometimes? Do you ever get that feeling it's just a bit too much, or do you have to be their everything?
I don't feel that way. However, it is important for me to facilitate being their everything in that way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not the sole person to meet their needs, but I have to make sure that there's other resources to be able to meet them. You know, whether it's family or friends.
So it's still really you. Like, I mean, people might say, oh, unschooling is easy because you don't have to do anything much, right? But
oh, right. It's definitely not for, okay, I know what you're saying. Yeah, it's definitely not for the lazy parent, put it that way. At all. I'm busy living this life, you know. I rarely sit down. I kind of joke around that I'm at home a lot, but I don't sit down often, because, you know, all at once, Devin could be asking me to research something and look something up with him and help. Then my other children are wanting the same need, you know, wanting the same thing. And so I'm kind of bouncing back and forth, and at the same time.
So that's what I meant. Like, is it sometimes a bit overwhelming? Is it
sometimes,
too much?
Sometimes, but, you know, most of the time it's really copable. But it all has to do with how I'm feeling that day. Like, it's so important as an unschooling parent to take the responsibility to take your needs really seriously. You need to make sure you're well-rested and well-fed, because if I'm tired or hungry, it's much harder for me to facilitate everyone's needs. And I'm grumpier about it, you know, about like, oh, just give me a second, guys, or whatever is happening at the time. I have much less patience. So I think one of the most important things, advice I could give an unschooling parent, is to take the responsibility to meet your needs and meet them well, because you need to have a full cup to live this life. You have to be overflowing and full to be able to give to others. If you're empty and you're drained, you have nothing to give, and your children really suffer from that. So it's very important to me to meet my own needs.
That's very helpful indeed, because I think many of us don't. We're always rushing around and being really busy and not taking care of our own selves. So.
And not only is it important to keep your cup full for your children in the way I described, but, I mean, what if I went through my life not meeting my needs? You know, if children learn what they live, how is that helping them? What am I showing them to do, to ignore their own needs and put the needs of others first, before their own, and I don't want my children to grow up like that. I want them to know how important they are and how important meeting their needs are. So I'm doing this because it's important as a facilitator of their learning and interests in life, but for them, too, to know. Because my mother was really kind of a martyr in that way. You know, she'd give till it hurts sometimes, and I kind of grew up modeling that, and it really took, you know, shifting in my mind to say, what's going wrong? You know, what's going on? And luckily, I had a great support system to help me learn how to meet my own needs.
So how do you meet your own needs?
And it really is so individual according to what my interests are. You know, most recently, I'm taking a pottery class. So that's really amazing. That's for my own needs and interests. I think it's so important for my children to see that learning never ends and that passions never end and that part of being human and being on this earth is constantly evolving and growing and exploring. Mm-hmm. And so I love to attend classes that I'm interested in, you know, pottery class. I love to ski. We're skiing right when I'm done this interview, actually. Mm-hmm. We're going to go skiing as a family. Making sure I'm fed. Food is such a big deal that people overlook. It really is important to be well fed, regardless of what your diet is, you know, what your beliefs are surrounding food. To keep yourself well fed is the basis of so much, and also well rested. So I go to bed when my youngest goes to bed, and I wake up usually an hour or two before everybody else, so I can, you know, do what I want as far as, like, respond to emails. And most of my free time at home is spent supporting others. And that really fills my cup.
Wow. So I just wanted to go back a little bit to because what I'm noticing a lot of unschooling in your family, what you've just described, it's a family project in a way, like what you're doing. It's learning as a family. And how about that piece about learning in community? Do you get a chance to do any collaborations with other families? And a lot of literature coming out where and they talk about how kids learn well together. You know, I don't mean in the school context, but just when they're bouncing off ideas with one another, you know, whether it's in front of the internet, researching together, and there's that element that I find, you know, I'm an unschooling mom too, and I have one daughter now. The other two decided to go off to school. But I feel that I have that concern that maybe there does need to be some more people to bounce off ideas and things like that. What do you say to that?
Well, I think for me, I know what you're saying, and I agree from the perspective of passion is infectious. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's important for me to surround my children with passionate people in life, people that love to learn, because passion, when I'm interested in something and I'm passionate about it, my kids, it's amazing how they really, oftentimes, they become interested too. Mm-hmm. You know, since the pottery class, they're like, wow, you know, I didn't think of this before. This looks really fun, and wow, does Mom love this, and I'd like to try this. And so I think from that group dynamic, it is like when you're surrounded by people that are passionate about what they're learning about, it is infectious. And so passion is very important. It comes from a lot of different sources. You know, my daughter, who's 9, thrives in group settings because she loves that passion's really awesome to her. And my son, however, prefers that kind of connection online with people. Mm-hmm. He's not so much the in-person kind of thing. So, again, it's knowing your child, knowing how they learn, and being able to meet that need. But passion is definitely a huge part of our life.
Well, that's the thing. Like, having that, I think that's, you know, we have to keep that exposure going because that's so crucial to what unschooling is about. So being able to expose kids to those different people who are passionate about what they're doing, that's one of what, when I had the radio show, this is the interview part now, but we used to have, the children would come up with ideas and they were always able to meet people that were incredibly passionate about what they were doing. And I think that was really exciting about that aspect, being able to be involved. I guess you could do that through communities as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be this, the kids the same age, that's a thing. But
you get in so many different ways, just in normal human interaction, I think that comes into play with, you know, and one thing that I think some unschoolers overlook is, for some reason, the word teaching is really kind of taboo. People don't like to use the word teaching in unschooling. However, in the way I'm about to describe it, I think it can be really, really important. Have you ever heard that saying that you absorb a certain percentage of a topic from listening, and then another percentage from writing or speaking, and then but the best way to absorb what you're learning is to teach others. Yeah. Well, my children love to be in that role of helping other people learn something. Now, I'm planning a conference in New Hampshire, in the area where I live, in the White Mountains, this April. Mm-hmm. It's called the Life Rocks Conference, And my children have had so much fun helping plan the sessions for this that they can't wait to lead, you know, with all involving their passions. My daughter is doing an American Girl doll session. You know, they're doing all these fun things that they're interested in. Now I know that they will learn so much even more deep, more meaningful to them by educating others about them. So that's something that isn't really focused on, or it's really often overlooked, is helping your child be in that teacher role to mm-hmm. others mm-hmm. as a form of learning.
And, I mean, it happens sometimes with siblings, and the kids might appreciate it. Other times they don't. I know that, you know, don't tell me what to do.
Well, right. Well, siblings are a whole different conversation. Yes, yes.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I was looking at your site, and one of your quotes is that you can have it all. And I'm wondering, that sounds, I wonder if it's difficult to sustain that kind of feeling. or it just seems like, I would find it a pressure to have that, to, in the sense that it seems like an overwhelming thing to live up to. What do you have to say about that?
Well, what all means is really individual to each family. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm referring to a lot of different perspectives of life. For one, I think it takes to lead a unschooling life, or a radical unschooling life, living in a partnership paradigm really takes living in an optimistic mindset. Mm. You know, it takes a real shift. It affects every area of your life when you're learning about this, and learning to focus on all that's working in your life, learning to focus on the positive, you know, learning to see the good in people, you know, that's been very helpful on my path. And what I mean by you can have it all is that you can have connection and you can have friendship with your children. Mm-hmm. You know, we're told in our culture that I'm the parent, I'm not your friend. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big reference to you can have it all. You can have, you know, the family of your dreams in that way, where you can be connected. It doesn't mean that there's not difficult times, but it's really focusing on all that you could have living this life that most people don't. You know, I have a lot of friends that, you know, that I grew up with or that I went to school with that I'm still in touch with, and seeing their relationship is very different with their children. It's very difficult. You know, the authoritarian paradigm, I just feel that it's really one-dimensional, where I think it's very, very deep living this life. You get to experience so much that a traditional parent doesn't. So, that's in reference to that.
It's amazing that that being friends with your children, that's kind of a theme that comes up a lot with unschooling parents and kids. I find that the connection continues into adulthood.
Right.
The kids that I've talked to, the grown unschoolers, they have good relationships with their. I mean, not saying everybody, obviously, but
right.
Overall. The dialogue continues, a love of their siblings, and that, I think that's almost worth anything, really.
It is a real benefit to living this life, and it really feels like the life of my dreams, because I so deeply wanted that as a child, mm-hmm. you know, and with a lot of adults in my life, like, I wanted to be taken seriously. I wanted them to look at me as an equal, and I never was, you know, and that was really hard. I mean, I think with my mother, I definitely was, in a lot of respects, so, you know, mm-hmm. not in every relationship, but, like, with my father, or, you know, with aunts, uncles, grandparents. Like, I just wanted to be able to be in on the conversation and have my opinion and what I was sharing be valued. Instead, I was brushed away so much, mm-hmm. and I felt such an injustice. And I think I'm a really empathetic person just by nature, and I never wanted my children to feel that way. Like, from the beginning, I wanted them to feel value, and that I cared about what they said and what they had to share. And we have the most amazing relationship, that my kids can tell us anything.
Have your kids ever asked to go to school? And if they have, would you let them?
They have never asked, and they don't have any desire to right now, but if they ever wanted to, I would support that. I might have those, you know, wrenching feelings in my head of, oh my goodness, that's going to be so weird or different. But you know what, I have a really good friend, Devin and her son have been best friends since they were 2 years old, and he started school this year. He's going to a Montessori school, and it's totally by choice. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a really social boy and wanted to have a lot of friends, and it's really working for him. And so to me, this philosophy is about respecting their choices, and I think mm-hmm. school should be used as a resource like a library. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it should be forced. I think the present system could be, you know, tweaked a little bit, to say the least, to accommodate people. But why couldn't school be a resource, like every other resource out there, that you could go to for a week if you wanted, and try it out and take one course or whatever. But no, I'm not like anti-school, and I would be supportive of him going. But he really, my kids love the freedom of being home. And I think being an advocate and traveling the world like we have, they've seen so much, and they're really informed about schools, and they don't have any desire to be. I don't think they would even know what to do if they were treated like kids in school are treated. My, you know, having to raise their hand to go to the bathroom, or it just is so foreign to them.
And I think the other thing about schooling is that it's not a process that's going to end when the children turn 18 or something.
Right.
We're thinking of it in terms of you're in it for the long haul, forever, until, you know.
Exactly, with your relationship and with learning in general, you know, it's something where, you know, you live this life and you're learning so much alongside of your children, just about yourself, and
very exciting.
It's you're all learning together different things maybe, but you're growing together and learning together in the sense of, you know, what humans really are on Earth here to do, and it really expands to so much. You know, it makes you think everything. It makes you rethink everything. When you've busted out of that box and you're parenting differently, you look at the world with totally different lenses than most people. You truly do. And sometimes I think it would be easier if I was just, you know, as a traditional parent, because, you know, you see the injustice sometimes and it hurts your heart. Because you're seeing things that most people don't look at it from that perspective. And sometimes I think I have a little bit more pain and empathy for, you know, children than most people. And sometimes you feel like you're on a different planet when you're in a group full of people that parent differently. And that kind of connects to your upbringing and the way that a lot of people felt in school as kind of an outsider. You know, it brings up a lot of emotions that you may have grown up with yourself of being, you might feel rejected or feel you don't fit in or all those kind of thing. Sometimes walking this path, you do feel that because you're doing something so different. And you feel so normal and happy, you just can't see that other people can't see it. And I think a lot of times, you know, just talking to friends, it's hard to be viewed at as the weird one.
Yeah.
It is sometimes because you're like, I'm so normal, I'm nice. Like, why do these people think that of me? But it just comes with the territory. You have to have courage to live this life, to know so deeply that what you're doing is right, that it doesn't matter what other people think. And so when I say, like, personal growth in learning, I think it just takes you to that, like, zen place of just having to find peace with who you are, and regardless of what other people think. But I think that really benefits our children, too, you know, to be able to see you doing that. When people say to me, or I hear, that unschooling is lazy, I just, my mind is blown, because I really know that they don't understand what it is, because it's the opposite of that.
You said everything so beautifully, really explained so much, and I've learned a lot from this as well.
Well,
do you have anything more that you'd like to add?
I'll just share that my book, Radical Unschooling, A Revolution Has Begun, you can find it in your local bookstore. I have another book coming out, which is a kind of what I call a coffee table book for, you know, mindful parents that are, you know, looking for inspiration. I know walking this path myself, it would have been so great to just have a book to pick up and read a quote really quick to, like, help myself feel better in that moment. And, you know, I think people need support. And so I wanted to offer a really new, unique form of support for unschoolers in the form of quotes and really positive images. My husband's a photographer, and the book is half his photos, which are really awesome, I think. I'm a little biased, but I'm so happy for him pursuing this passion that he has. And so it's really cool photos coupled with, you know, 100-plus quotes, original quotes of mine that are hoping to really inspire and support others on their path, and that's coming out in a couple of weeks. So
wonderful. And what's the book called?
It's called True Freedom, Inspiration for Radical Parents. That, and I'm doing a conference, which is a new adventure. My husband and I spoke at the first ever unschooling conference in London, and then this past year, the first ever unschooling conference in Australia, which was amazing. And so we travel a lot attending conferences, and this year we are doing our own conference in North Conway, New Hampshire, and it's called the Life Rocks Conference. So if you type in liferocksconference.com, you can read more about that, and it's at a really cool water park. And so that's a new adventure for our family, too.